Today's shiur is Maseches Pesachim Daf Pei Hei, and we will begin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Itmar, Eivah She'ener Lof Kazayis B'Mokum Zeh. You have a limb that doesn't have a kazayis of meat on one spot. V'yesh Lof Kazayis B'Mokum Acher. But on another spot of the limb, there is a kazayis. Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh B'Mishmim Shviras Etzem. Such a limb is subject to the Isser of breaking a limb. Rav Shimon Bar Lakish Amar Ein B'Mishmiris Etzem. It's not subject. So Tosfos explains that both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish Paskin, like Rebbe, who we learned yesterday, says that what is the criteria for the Isser of Shviras Etzem to be effective? It has to be Royal Achila. And now the question is, if it has a Kazayis Basur in one spot but not in the other spot, is that considered Royal Achila? But everybody's agreeing with Rebbe. In effect, actually, Tosfos points out, the Machloikis of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is the same Machloikis that we had yesterday, Ravina of Ashi, how they understood Rebbe. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that's him, like Sishbar Boy, the Torah says, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Karm Pesach, Echad Atzim Sheesh Lov Kazayis Basar. Vechad Atzim She'en Lov Kazayis Basar. Whether it has a Kazayis meat on it or not. My ain't all of kazayis basur. So now let's understand what does the brayse mean if it doesn't have kazayis basur. Elaim the ain't all of kazayis basur klal that doesn't have at all kazayis basur is the question. Am I yesh by mishum shviras etzim? If there's no kazayis, why would there be a kaziyah chiv? So asks Tosfos. Perhaps this brayse of paskins like the rabbanim. And according to rabbanim, we learned yesterday, as long as the carbon is a kosher carbon, there's an issue of shviras etzem, even if it doesn't have a kazayis. So says Tosfos that the Gemara did not even attempt to say that the brayse goes according to rabbanim, because everybody agrees that we paskin like Rebbe. So why would we have a brayse going according to rabbanim? So if that's the case, what's pshat according to Reish Lakish? The brayse must be meaning whether it has a kazayis basur in one spot. Even though it doesn't have in one spot, but it has in the other spot, it's still considered a bone that you're not allowed to break. So we have a brayse against Reish Lakish. Amalei loy. That's not the way to understand the brayse, says Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Whether it has a kazayis basur on the meat outside, it may not have a kazayis basur outside on the limb, but it has a kazayis of marrow. If where you break it, there's a kazayis basur, whether it's outside, meat outside, or marrow inside, there's an issa to break it. For Tanya. And Reish Lakish says, I'll bring you a braisa that corroborates what I said. It says the braisa, etzim loy sish bruboy. Echad etzim sheyesh b'mayach, whether it's a bone that has in it marrow, ve'echad etzim sheyem b'mayach, and whether it's a bone that doesn't have marrow, you're not allowed to break it. Now, Tosfos points out that truthfully, the braisa should have said the other way, because the bigger chiddush is echad etzim sheyem b'mayach, that even though it has no marrow, you're not allowed to break it. So Tosfos tells us that Shas, there's different ways. Sometimes Shas says the bigger chiddush first, and sometimes in Shas we find that the bigger chiddush is said later. Or mani mekayim, but now we have a problem. You're not allowed to break a bone, no matter what, even if it has marrow. But it says in the Torah, "Ochel es habasa b'layla zeh." You have to eat meat. You have to eat the meat of the Karban Pesach. But if you're not allowed to break a bone and get to the marrow, how are you going to eat it? So it says, "B'basa shal gabay etzim." It's referring to the meat on the bone. Maybe the Torah is telling you even the meat in the marrow you should eat. The Torah says you're not allowed to break a bone. What are you going to do with that pasuk? That's going to be talking about a bone that has no marrow. A bone that has no marrow, certainly you're not allowed to break. A bone that has marrow on it. I would think that bone may be broken in order to get to the marrow. V'al tatam, and don't question why I think that way. Shrei yovei esav yitchaloifasei. There's an essay to eat the Karban Pesach. There's a loisasei that you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to break a bone. But we have a rule where when you're faced with an essay and a loisei say they're in conflict, essay doich loisei say, we follow the essay. So therefore I would say, eat the marrow, even though it involves breaking the bone. That's what I would think. Since the Torah says you're not allowed to break a bone, not only does the Torah say this pasuk when it speaks about Pesach Rishon, but even says that when it speaks about Pesach Sheni, there's really no reason for the Torah to say that. That Pesach Sheni has to be performed identical to the way Pesach Rishon is performed. Have oimer, whether it has marrow or not, you're not allowed to break it. So Rashi asks, we know that when do we say Esadai Chalaisa say? When we have a dilemma. We have an essay, we have a Lais essay, and we have to choose which one. Asks Rashi, we have no dilemma here. What, you could take the marrow out without breaking a bone. Because you could just extract it, as we learned yesterday, by making a fire, creating a hole, and extract it. So why should we even question that the essay should be doicha de lois essay? So according to Rava, that says that that's not an acceptable approach, because when you make the hole, you burn part of the marrow. We understand why that's not an option. But according to Abaya, that the whole concern is that when you do that, you may break a bone. But that's only a chash. That's only a worry, the Rabbanon. So that's why you shouldn't break a bone, because we have a way of doing it without doing it the Raisa. Says Rashi, and this is the way the Lekech Toiv explains Rashi, that here we see that when the Torah tells us something, to do something, and there's something that you're not allowed to do, which is only a worry. It's not that you're doing the Aveira. Midoraisi, you're not allowed to do it. Let's understand what I said. We're not allowed to break a bone. Making a hole, there's nothing wrong. But when you make a hole, you may crack the bone. The Torah tells us, it's not just the Rabbanon, the Torah tells us don't do anything that can make you do, that you may end up doing an Aveira. That's why making a hole is not an option. That's the approach that Rashi and the Lekech Toiv take. But there's another approach that we also spoke about yesterday. Because Rav Kivega asks a different question. He says, we don't have to have Esei Doicha Lo Esei. We should ask a guy to break the bone. He has no Aveira to break the bone. So we don't have to have Esei Doicha Lo Esei. Let the guy break the bone. You'll get the marrow and no Aveira. So answers, but according to what we said yesterday from Rabbi Chanan, that Etzem Lo Sijur B'boy doesn't just teach us that you're not allowed to break a bone. It teaches us that we have the obligation to make sure that their bone remains whole. So asking a guy to break the bone is going against the pasuk, because the Torah says you have to make sure it stays whole, and here you're doing something to make it broken. Tosfos asks that we know that the rule of Esei Doicha Lo Esei is only when you have the Esei and the Lo Esei at the same time. It's called the Idna. You have an Esei and a Lo Esei, and you have to do the Esei, and you're not allowed to do the Lo Esei. What do I do? Here it's not at the exact same time, because you first break the bone, and then you eat the meat. So why? How could you say Esei Doicha Lo Esei? Tosfos asked that question over here. It doesn't answer it. Tosfos, there's a Piskei Tosfos in Masechta Zvachim that answers it. He says, when is there a rule that Esei Doicha Lo Esei only when they're both at the same time? Is when you could do the essay and Lois essay at the same time, and when you could do it not at the same time. So then the rule is only at the same time essay doicha Lois essay. However, here it's impossible to eat the meat without breaking the bone. So even though the essay and Lois essay are not at the exact same time, there is no requirement for beidna. And Rabbarach Tam explains what Taisha says. He says, since you can't get to the meat without breaking the bone, yes, you break the bone before you eat the meat. But that's all part of eating. Because if you can't eat without the breaking the bone, breaking is part of the eating, so it's all at the exact same time. Another teretz, the Svasemis gives a simple teretz. We're talking about the soft bones. The soft bones you can eat, and while you're eating it, you're breaking them. A third teretz, interesting teretz that the Svasemis gives also, is as follows. He says, when is there a rule that Esei Doicha Lo Esei, that the Esei and the Lo Esei have to meet at the exact same time, be'idna, is when you have an Esei and a Lo Esei conflicting. But when you have an essay and a lois essay against the lois essay, then you don't have to have them at the exact same time. Here you have an essay of eating the carbon. You have a lois essay of noiser, you're not allowed to leave off any meat, against the lois essay of etzem leisish brubai. So here the essay and the lois essay are stronger than the lois essay, even if they're not at the exact same moment. says the Shagas Aryeh, based on this Gemara, we see that you have to eat up the whole carbon. Why? Because if you don't have to eat up the whole carbon, why Esed Leichas Aryeh? You have plenty of other meat. Without the marrow, so says the Sfasemus, which has the Shagas Aryeh from C, you have to eat up every drop of the meat in the carbon. Miches Chinuch disagrees. He says that the case of the Gemara is talking here, that you need every drop of meat, that there should be kazayas for every person that registered. But yes, if you would have a kazayas for every person that registered without relying on the marrow meat, then the entire discussion of the Gemara would be irrelevant. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei, another question on Reish Lakish. It says in a Mishnah, we're going to learn the Mishnah on the Beis, Ei b'shiyotz miktsasoi, if part of a limb went out, chaytech ad mokum shemigila, and you have to cut open the meat until you get to the bone, v'kailuf ad shemigila perik, and keep on peeling until you get to a joint, v'chaytech, and then separate them. V'amrit eivish ein olav kazayis basav mokum zeh. If you're going to tell me, as long as there's no kazayis of meat in one spot, v'yesh kazayis b'mokum echer, even though there's meat kazayis in another spot, ain't by mishum shvirus etzim, there's already no problem of breaking the bone. Lamali the kailf at shemigila perek. Why do we have to go through this whole process of kailf at shemigila perek v'chaytech? Why do we need that? Nikolf beperte, cut away the meat that we should have a less than a kazayis meat in that spot. V'nitpere, and break it, according to Reish Lakish, as long as you don't have a kazayis basar in one spot, you can break. Abayom, so Abay says, you're right, that would be a good eitzah, that would be a good piece of advice. But Meshapaka, we're concerned that if you're going to crack it in the spot where you don't have meat, you're going to end up cracking it in the spot where you do have. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. We're talking here about a thigh bone, which is completely full of marrow. There is no spot that you could break without breaking bone that has meat. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. There's a Mishnah that teaches us. Ha-pigel va-noiser. Pigel, we know, is that the Kohen, when he brought the carbon, had a machsheva chutz l'zmanoi, that he's going to keep it, that he's going to eat the meat or be mak of the meat after the right time. But nice, so we've been discussing that the meat is kept past its time. Metamus yidayim, Chazal said that they are metama, somebody that touches them. So Rav Huna Rav Chizda, there's a Rav Huna Rav Chizda comment. Charam abnei chajde kuna, once said the reason this Chazal made this decree is because people that are accused to do the wrong thing, we'll explain it in a moment. And one says Kohanim that were lazy. Ma masni apigel. One said the reasoning regarding why pigel is tamei, or ma masni a noiser, and one explained why noiser is tamei. Ma the masni apigel, the one that said pigel is tamei, mishum chash de kuna. There are Kohanim that we accuse that, let's say somebody brings a carbon, and the Kohen doesn't like the person who brought the carbon. So what's he going to do? He's going to fix his wagon. He's going to make the carbon piggle. So what do we do? We said, yes, you're going to make the carbon piggle, but if you touch the carbon, you're going to become Tamei. So he's not going to be so quick to do that. Ask Taisus. We're talking about a person that will go deliberately and make somebody else's carbon piggle. So he's worried. He's a Russian. He's worried about Tuma. So Taisus says they lived in a world where they were very makbid on Tuma. And a person could be a Rasha, deliberately make somebody else's carbon piggle, but he doesn't bother him, but Tumah will bother him. That's how Taisus learns. Our Sameach learns Pshat like this. A person who's going to deliberately make somebody else's carbon piggle is a person that is not going to worry about Tumah either. Here we're talking about a person that made somebody else's carbon piggle. He didn't do it on purpose. It happened. He had the wrong machshava. But now we're concerned that he's not going to disclose to the person who he did it to that your carbon is piggle. He's going to be angry at him. You made my carbon piggle. So how will this person ever know? If this kohen will act with the carbon that it's tamei, that's how the person who was the victim will know. Omandamasni, a noiser, the one that says a noiser, is mishum atzli kuhuna. It's talking about kohanim that are lazy, and they're lazy. There's nothing, noiser, there's nothing action. You just leave it. People are lazy and they won't eat up the carbon. And so how will we prevent that? By saying that it'll become nicer. So the Arsmech again says, we're not that concerned about a person leaving over carbon. What we're more concerned is that we learned that the halacha is the nicer has to be burnt, and we're concerned that the person's going to be lazy and not burn it. So we tell him, better burn it, because if you don't burn it and you touch it, you're going to become tamei. Ma masni kazayis, once said that the shear is a kazayis, Oman Master Kabeya once had the shear of Thomas Kabeya. Man the Master Kazayas, where does he get that shear? Kisuroi. Because the Man the Master Kazayas, Kisuroi. Because the shear of Kachim that you have to eat is, and the shear of Pigel is a Kazayas. Oman the Masni, Kabeya is Kutumasai. The shear of Tumah by food is a Kabeya. And we have the Machlokes Rashi in Taisus. According to Rashi, any amount of food is makabel tumah, but to transmit tumah, you need a kabeya. According to Tosfos, food less than a kabeya doesn't even accept tumah. There's a very interesting vort. Here we see that the shear of kachim is a kazayis. That's why we understand a Gemara. The Gemara says that they used to distribute on Shabbos the lechem upon him. And there was a big tumult when they distributed it, because they had only 12 loaves of bread for all the Kaharim. So it says that Snuam Moshchnas Yudayim. The Kaharim that didn't want to push just didn't take any. Question is, it's a mitzvah to eat? The answer is, because the Gemara says, since everybody only got kapol, the size of a bean, there is no mitzvah, because there's only a mitzvah, the shear of a kazayis. So now the question is, so by kachim less than a kazayis, there's no mitzvah, and that's why they just stayed away. What about by matzah? Let's say a person doesn't have, or chas v'shalom is sick and he can't eat a kazayis of matzah. Is there a mitzvah to eat as much as you can? So Chasam Sofer says, yes, that you should eat as much as you can. Why? Because matzah is not the same as kachim. The kohen doesn't have, there's no specific kohen that has an obligation to eat kachim. There's a mitzvah to eat when there's a kazayis. But it doesn't, you don't have to be the kohen to eat, another kohen can eat. Matzah, every person has an obligation to eat matzah. And therefore, you should eat a kazayis, of course. But if you can't, eat what you can. So now ask the Gemara. Iboilu, yoitza. When it comes, there's another issue. You're not allowed to take a carbon outside from Yushalayim kachim kalim. You're not allowed to take out of the Azorah kachim kachim. Goz rabbanon tuma aloi. Did Chazal make a gzeru or not? And there's a machloikis achroinim. What does the Gemara mean with yoitza? It certainly means to ask, kachim kalim are not allowed to be taken out of Yerushalayim, and the Gemara wants to know if you did take it out, is there tum on it? And some achronim say the Gemara is even asking about kachim, if you took it out of the Azorah. Others say kachim, which are only eaten by the Kohanim, there's no shayla, there's no consideration would be tum. Kohanim are careful. The only questions are kachim kalim, and others say the questions are both. Mi aminin, do we say noisa, the Gazer Tuma, you know where Chazal made a Gzer by Noiser, Dos Letzulibay. People will just leave it there. So how do I make sure people don't leave it? By making Gzer of Tuma. Ava Yoitza, Afuki Biyadayim, Life Mafkulay Biyadayim. Nobody's going to deliberately take something that you're not allowed to take out of Yushalayim. And therefore, like Gazer Barabon and Tuma, I demolish, no, Chazal made a Gzer in both cases. Toshma. Let's learn from the mission that we just quoted. Avish Yotz Miktsosoi, Choytech Hachemigil Etzem, Vekoyof Hachemigil Perek. We learned that you peel and you cut, Vekoytech. The Amrit asked the Gemara, if we say, Gozabay Ribon and Tumor, that Chazal said that the part that goes out is Tomei, Kichotechle, my Hava. Even if you're going to separate the part that went out from the part that remained inside, Hakamatamale. The part that went outside. We're saying now it becomes Tameh. So it will be Metameh, the rest of the carbon. So why could you eat the rest? Must be that there is no Tumah by something that goes out. Says the Mara, that's not a question. Tumah stormhi. Where does it touch? It touches under the skin. That's a concealed Tumah. The Tumah storm loy Metameh. That doesn't have the ability to transmit Tumah. Ask the Gemara, Ularvina da Amachibur Oichlan Lav Chiburhu. Who command the Mifrasi Dami that food that's connected is not considered connected. And Tosfos in Masechta Chulin explains, food that's meant to be separated is considered as two separate entities. So here we have two pieces of food. We have the part that's outside that I'm cutting away from the part that's inside. So the Halacha views it as two separate entities that are now touching. So if you say that something that goes out is Metama, so why won't it be Metama the part that's inside? Mikalamema, Hakanagim Adodi, the Kamatama. Says the Gemara, Eldaman the Masni Kazayas, the one that says that the Shia Tumas Kazayas will explain the Lesbe Kazayas. There's less than a Kazayas that went out. So if there's less than a Kazayas that went out, it certainly doesn't have the ability to give off Tumma. Or Man the Masni Kabeya, the one that said that the Shia of Tumas by Kabeya, will explain that the situation here is the Lesbe Kabeya, that there is no Kabeya to give off the Tumma. Toshma, so says the Gemara, another proof. The Aloch is Hamoitzi Pesach. Michabura lechabura, we're going to learn soon that the Pesach was not allowed to be taken out from one group to another group. Even though he did an Aveira, Tohar. The carbon remains Tohar. My laugh, Tohar. It's Tohar for us, but you're not allowed to eat it. Why? The Yoitzim Michabura kechabura, taking the carbon Pesach from one group to another group, is kiyotzei chutz mechitzasi dami, has the same status as removing it from the home where it is, or mifsel, and it becomes disqualified. But feel hachin, still what does the braisa teach us? Tor, amulei goz rabbanan tumah. So we see that rabbanan did not make a gzeira on tumah when a carbon was taken out from where it's supposed to be. Says the Gemara, loy. What the braisa means, tor mutar. It's tahar. You know why it's tahar? Because it's mutter. You did an aveira, but it's still allowed to be eaten. Because, says the Gemara, the yoitzim chabura l'chabura, the aveira of taking a carbon from one group to another group, is not identical, lav ki yoitzel chutz mechitzos adami, it's not identical as if you took it out from the home, v'loy mifsum. Says the Gemara, v'kazi yutani sefer oich l'berei l'eisei sefer. That if you eat it, you're over an Aveira. So obviously, it is the same. It is possible. So now we go back. Here we see that it's possible. It is disqualified. Just like it was taken out from a Chabura, has the same din as it was taken out from the home. It's disqualified. It may not be eaten. And yet we see that it's Tahar. So we see that there was no Gzeir by Yoitze. So says the Gemara, Lamandam Kabeya, according to Mandam that says that the Shear of Thomas Kabeya will explain the Ispay Kizayas for Lesbe Kabeya. So then there's no question. There's not enough. That's why it's not Tomei. However, says the Gemara, El Mandam Kizayas, according to Mandam that says it's Kizayas, there must have been that you ate there's a Kizayas here. Because if there's no Kizayas here, you wouldn't get an Aveira for eating it. So if there's a Kizayas, Michael Amemer, it must be that it doesn't give off Tumah. Says the Gemara, El B'yoytze Pesach Lami Boilon. When it comes to taking out a carbon Pesach, there is no question that there is that Chazal did not make a gzeira. Why? The loy goes rabbanan tuma. Chazal did not make a gzeira when you take out carbon Pesach. My tama, b'nei chabur is the reason. Hein? The carbon Pesach is brought with a whole group of people. Umizazi hiribe, and people are careful not to take it out. Ki kama boilon, b'yoytze b'kotchim. The question is by all other kabbonis, where we don't have this group, and we don't have these, Tosfos says, these unique dinim that Karban Pesach has. My, what's the halacha? Is there tumo or not? And the Gemara says, take the question's unresolved. Says the Tzlach, although the Gemara here differentiated between Karban Pesach and all other kabbonis, says the Tzlach, where do we differentiate? We only differentiate in the dinim, in the rules that are unique to Karban Pesach. The din of taking it out of the home, the din of taking it out from a chabura to chabura. They were saying that by carbon Pesach there certainly is no tumma, and by other kabbonis those dinim don't apply. But what about the din that's by all kabbonis equal to carbon Pesach? The din that you're not allowed to take a carbon Pesach outside Yerushalayim, which is not a din unique to carbon Pesach. All kachim kalim may not be taken out of Yerushalayim. Says the Tzlach, just like the Gemara didn't resolve the question by all kabbonis, it'll be a question by carbon Pesach too. That's how the Tzlach learns the Gemara. Briskerov disagrees. Rav Chaim quotes his son, the Briskerov, and the Briskerov says that by carbon Pesach there's never a question. Any type of taking it out, whether it's from the house, whether it's from the Chabura, whether it's from Yerushalayim, the Gemara is telling us Tahar. The question is all other Kabbonis. Ask the Gemara, we're speaking about taking the carbon Pesach out from one group. Umoitzi basa Pesach michabura lechabura minayin. Where we know you're not allowed to take out a carbon Pesach from one group to another. The Tanya loisoytzi min abayis min abasa chutzah. You're not allowed to take out from the home. Only el mibayis lebayis. This teaches us you're not allowed to take out the carbon from one house to another house. Mibayi michabura lechabura minayin. How you're not allowed to take it from one group to another. Tamaloima chutzah. You're not allowed to take it out from the group that you're part of. So there's an interesting shaila. From Rashi, it seems that you now take the Korban Pesach from one group to another group. Let's understand in the world that we live in. Let's say we're all sitting in a hotel. People, there may be still hotels when Mashiach comes, and they're all going to eat the Korban Pesach in a big dining room. So there's one group at one table, another group at another table. You now take the Korban Pesach from one table to another. But what's going to be the halacha if you have one large group? They can't fit on one table. So they separate themselves into two tables. Is that a problem or not? So from Rashi, it seems it wouldn't be a problem. Because the top Rashi says, Chabur shel shnei psochim be'ez echad. You now take it from one group to another group. But if it's all one group, they're just separating themselves into two, would be mutter. That's how it seems to learn. The Chazanish disagrees. He says, one group that divided would also be usur. Says the Gemara, Omer of Ami, Hamaitzi basa pesa mechabura lechabura. If we just learned you're not allowed to take the Korban Pesach from one group to another group, tells us Rav Ami, if you do it, ein achayiv ad shiniach, until you actually place it down. Why? Hatzok sebei. The Torah used the word hatzok k'shabbos, so it has the same rules as carrying on Shabbos. So just like we learned at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, mas Shabbos, you're not considered you did carrying ad the over akir v'hanocha until you pick it up and place it down. Af hachinami ad the over akir v'hanocha. Until you pick it up and place it down. So there's a very big machlokes tzlach and miches chinuch here. The tzlach says that although the Gemara says that you're not over the avera of taking out of leisoitzi until you actually do a kirva anocha, that doesn't mean that the carbon is disqualified as soon as you take it out. Disqualification comes immediately. The avera you're not over until you put it down. Miches chinuch disagrees. He says they travel together. That until you're over the Aveira, the carbon is not disqualified. So here we see that the Gemara is using Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos, as the prototype for carrying here. So the Mefarshim ask, when we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned there are many other dinim in carrying. There's a din in carrying that you're not allowed to carry. You have to pick it up from a mokum dalet al dalet, it has to be four tvachim by four tvachim, and you have to put it down in such a place. Will the same din apply here or not? So Rafika Yam says like this. He says there's a difference between a carrying, between the din of Akira Hanocha and the other dinim of Hilch, of carrying in Shabbos. Akira Hanocha defines carrying. Without Akira Hanocha, it's not called carrying. And if the Torah says Soitzi, you're not allowed to carry it. Without Akira Hanocha, you didn't do carrying. Dalet al Dalet is not the definition of carrying. It's a definition of Melechs Machshevis. It's a definition of Hilch Shabbos. So therefore, it's not required. But that's a definition only relevant when you're carrying from one rishus to another rishus. There, says the Gemara, just a word of introduction, there were kabonis chatois that had to be brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. Chatois pnimios. They were brought in Yom Kippur and other occasions. There's a very interesting, unique din regarding these kabonis. The blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaPnimi inside. Then you have to take out the rest of the animal, chutz l'sholosh machnas, outside, and burn it there. But there's one more din. The kohen who carries it out, the moment he leaves the azara, becomes tamei. Says the Gemara, Masrav Abba B'mamal, it says in Masechta Zvachim, how did they carry out these chatois? They used to carry them out on poles. Harishonim yotzu chutz l'chaymas azara. The people in the front left were outside the Azara. V'achronim lo yotzu. And the people behind did not yet leave the Azara. So the halach is, harishonim etam begodim. The people already left the Azara become tamei. V'achronim eim etam begodim. But the people in the back don't become tamei. Is the question, v'aloy noch. It didn't come to stop. And we just said, that wherever the Torah says soitzi, you need akir v'anocha. There's no anocha. So why is he tamei? Answered the Gemara, who maisalav, who mefaralah, b'min agrarim. It's not talking that he's carrying it, he's schlepping it. So since they're schlepping it on the ground, there is a hanocha. And Taisa says it doesn't have necessarily have to be that they're schlepping it on the ground. Even if it comes within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered like it's exactly on the ground. Ask Taisa. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, agad keli shmei agad, that something that's within a utensil is considered connected. So what are we saying? That we schlepped it out on the ground. Part of it is outside the Azara, and part of it is inside the Azara. But since we say, Aged Keli Shmei Eged, so it should be considered that it's still connected to inside the Azara. the pole connects them. So there's three terutzim to the kasha. One terutz, Tosfos gives us a simple terutz. We're speaking in a case where the entire animal is outside the azara. The kohen in the back is not yet out, but the entire animal is already out. That's one terutz. Another terutz is, when do we say agad keli shmei agad? When it's inside a keli with a receptacle, with a utensil with a receptacle. Poles aren't receptacle. It's just a long pole that you hang it on. Egged keli shmei egged, it means if you have a box, so everything in the box is connected. Here it's not a box, it's just on a pole. And the third teretz is according to what we just said before. Egged keli shmei egged is a din in Hilchos Shabbos. But we said that although we're comparing carrying here to Hilchos Shabbos, it's not to all the details of carrying on Shabbos. It's only regarding the din of Akira and Hanocha. Because Akira and Hanocha is the basis of carrying. But regarding all other dinim, certainly we're not going to compare it. So yes, in Hilchos Shabbos is the din of Agad Keli Shmei Egged, but that has nothing to do regarding Parma and Srofim. So the Mishnah, now we're going to learn the Mishnah that we already quoted a few times today. Avish Yotz Mekzasai, if part of a limb went outside of Yerushalayim, the Dalocha Choytech Ach Megil Etzem, you should cut until you get to the bone, the Koil of Ach Megil Perik, and then cut off the skin until the flesh until you get to a joint for Choytech. And like that, separate it, because it won't involve cutting, because you're not breaking anything, you're just separating a joint. Ubi Mekdashim, by all other Kabonis, Koytzitz Bekupitz, you could take a meat chopper and just cut it off. There is no din of that you're not allowed to cut the bones, that you're not allowed to break bones. It's a unique din to come in Pesach. Now, the doors in their world, we have to explain, describe how the door looked. First of all, they had very wide doorways, not like in our world, skinny doorways. They had wide doorways. So there are three parts to the doorway. You have the, let's say we're standing inside a city or inside a room, makes no difference. So inside the room is considered, or from in front of the doorway, not just inside the room, but in front of the doorway is considered inside. Then you have the area of the doorway itself, which the Mishnah calls agaf. And then you have the other side of the door. It's still in the doorway, but the other side of the door. Says the Mishnah. Min agaf lufnim, anywhere inside from the door, even though you're under the doorway, klufnim. That's considered like you're still inside the city. Min agaf lechutz, on the other side of the door, is klechutz. Hachaloinos, the windows of the wall around Yerushalayim, v'oivai chayma, or the thickness of the wall, klufnim, are also considered like inside Yerushalayim. Amar Yehuda Merav, so Yehuda Merav says, techein letefillah. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, is that the same halachas that apply for what's considered inside or outside applies to make a minyan. If you're standing on the other side of the doorway, you can't be part of the minyan. If you're standing inside the doorway, you can be part of the minyan. Says the Gemara, pligid Rabbi Shulman Levi, and that's in disagreement with Rabbi Shulman Levi. Dam Rabbi Shulman Levi, afil mechitza shabazel, einem afsekas ben Yisrael avim shem shemayim. There is no separation, and you can always join into a minyan. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos takes serious issue with Rashi. Tosfos says it can't be Rabbi Shulman Levi would tell us that somebody is on one side of the door and the rest of the people on the other side of the door and they could combine to be a minyan. Nobody would say that. What does Rabbi Shulman Levi mean, says Tosfos? The Gemara is talking about a different shaila altogether. The Gemara is talking about a shaila, if you have a minyan and then you have somebody standing on the other side, could he answer Amen, Kedusha, Baruch Hu? So the Tanakhama says that we follow the same rules as our Mishnah. And Rabbi Shulman Levi says, no, if there's a minyan and I'm standing on the other side, they don't need me for minyan, I could always answer Amen. And that's the halacha. We pass in like Tosfos. What's the halacha regarding minyan? So we spoke in Masechta Brachos with the small room opening to the big room and the big room opening to the small room. And the Shulchan Aruch says always the requirement is that they have to see each other. That's the easiest way. If they could see each other, then they combine. This is an interesting shaila I saw. Let's say they could see each other, but they can't get to each other. I'll give you a cute example. Let's say you have people in a prison, you know, a Jewish jail. So you have eight people in prison, Jews, and two guards that are outside. They could see each other very well, but they can't get to each other. Could they combine? It's Machlekes Achrayim. So Tosfos teaches us that as long as there's a minyan, you could answer Amen in every Dava Sheba Kedusha. However, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the Shaila, let's say between you and the minyan, there's a Dava Sheba Naki, something unclean. Are you allowed to answer a Dava Sheba Kedusha? And the question is a very relevant question. Because let's say you're on the telephone, or you're on the internet, and you hear a bracha. Could you say Amen or not? Because certainly from wherever the person saying the bracha, all the way to where you're sitting, possibly on the other side of the wall, there's certainly in between a Dava Sheba Naki, something unclean. So do you say, can you answer or not? So, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah makes the following dichotomy. He says, Amen, you can answer. Amen doesn't have the Shem Hashem. However, Baruch Hu, saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Lo Yom Vod, or saying Kedusha, which involves saying Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Michsalaza disagrees. He says you're not allowed to say anything. Shlomo Zalman, interestingly, has a tshuva. He says, there's no point in saying Amen or any other thing when you hear a bracha over a telephone or over the internet, because what you're hearing is not the voice of the person. What happens to the voice is the voice turns into waves, and then you hear a voice again, so you're not hearing directly the voice. That's why you don't say Amen to such a bracha. Says the Gemara, Hago Fakasha. We have to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, anyway, on the inside part of the door, it's considered inside the city. What about the door of the way itself? It's considered on the other side of the city. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Anything on the other side of the door is klchutz. It's considered like outside. The doorway itself is considered klfnim. So how do I understand the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kam b'shari azara, kam b'shari Yerushalayim. There's a difference between the wall around the Azara and the wall around Yerushalayim. Dar Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak. Ma'aloy Neskatu Shar Yerushalayim. The wall around Yerushalayim is not considered part of Yerushalayim, and therefore standing on the other side, standing in the doorway, is like you're standing outside Yerushalayim. Neshmitzroim Meginim Tachtayim Acham Bnei Chama Ugesham Bnei Gesham. We know, we spoke about it earlier in the Masechta, a Mitzrayim is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim. But so now he wants to stand somewhere. So he purposely did not, they purposely did not make the doorways have Kedusha Yerushalayim. So if it's a sunny day or a rainy day, they could stand in the doorway, that will be protection. That's why Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha. However, the Shari Azara are considered doorways and it's considered part of the Azara, except one doorway. The Shah Nikner is the one doorway around the Azara that is not considered like you're inside the Azara. The halacha is that a Mitzrayim, after he finishes his Tara process, he has to bring Kabbonis. And the Kabbonis involve that you have to sprinkle on his right thumb and his right toe and on his right ear some of the blood. So how could he get there? He's still a Mitzrayim. So they specifically did not make that Shar Kadosh, and therefore he could stand there and stick his finger in, stick his toe in, and like that the sprinkle on it. Ask the Mikdash David a very obvious question. He should stand on the other side of the Shar. We should have treated Shar Nikner like we treated all the other Sharim, him stand on the other side of the Shar and stick his hand into the Shar. So he says, because the Torah uses the words lifnei Hashem, that he has to have his hands and feet lifnei Hashem, standing in a shower is not lifnei Hashem. The only way we could accomplish lifnei Hashem is making the shower not kadosh, and is standing there and sticking his finger in, or his hands in. Interestingly enough, when we learn this Gemara, there's a question. Here we're saying that the Azara didn't get Kedusha. What's going to be the halacha if we have nowadays Shorim and the Azara? Will they have Kedusha or not? So the Ravid says, even if the Shorim don't have Kedusha, or they do have Kedusha Yerushalayim, we don't know what in that time was part of the Azara and what was part of the Shorim. So we have to treat, at a Suffolk, we have to treat everything like it was actually part of the Azara. like was actually part of the Azara.